What's up, everybody? This is Sean Mandoli, and you're listening to the Hopeland Church Podcast. My prayer is that you encounter God as a result of listening to this sermon today. Enjoy. Here we go, folks. Part one of our new series today called Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to pray, and then we are going to jump into the Word. If you want the sermon notes and to follow along, we got some good notes as we step into this new series. So just text the word sermon to our number, 323-405-3232. Or if you're watching this online, you can also scan the QR code and you will get a link to the sermon notes. All right, so jump in there, follow along, and I really believe in my heart, this is gonna be a great month, talking about the Holy Spirit. And so let's pray, and then we will get into the Word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that we get to learn about you to this month and today. And so, God, I pray for revelation from your word. Reveal your word to us, Lord. Change us. Make us more like you, Lord. Do your work in us. We thank you, God, for your grace, your goodness, and for your Holy Spirit here. And I pray that we would be all the more sensitive to your leading and your guidance as a result of this message today. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen. All right, so let's jump in. So before I share the first verse here, I want to kind of give you a little context because we just had a sermon series called Redemption, and we literally walked through all of what Jesus did for us on the cross and the benefits and or blessings of the atonement, okay? And so we talked about redemption and reconciliation, justification, regeneration, propitiation, and there might have been another one. But we talked about the blessings of the atonement. And so now, really what we're stepping into now, we're like chronologically walking through the Gospels, and we'll end up in Acts, the book of Acts, next week, because Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again, he ascended, and he sent the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to do today. It's going to be somewhat of a chronology of getting to some of the things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit before he ascended, okay? So there we go. That's kind of what's going on. And then we're going to just dive into some of just the details of who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, and how we are to relate to him, okay? So let's jump into the Word. 1 Corinthians, this might be kind of like our text for this series, okay? A text for this month. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. And it reads, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, or another way to say that is, or which belong to God. Okay, and so just as I said, we just talked about redemption. We just talked about the cross. And here you see this specific thing said here by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church. And he's connecting redemption to the Holy Spirit coming. All right? Or really redemption to the Holy Spirit entering the human heart and human spirit, okay? Because right here he says, man, you're not your own. And what does that remind us of? Redemption, because redemption means to purchase with a price, right? To free a slave by payment, okay? And he's saying, man, you're not your own. You were bought at a price. Somebody say redemption. So there's a connection here. Wait, but you know, you were not your own. You were bought at a price. You're a temple. You're now, as a result of that, a temple of the Holy Spirit. So here's my first point. The outcome of redemption is holiness. Really, the result of redemption is that the Holy Spirit can dwell within us. So once again, the outcome of redemption is holiness. Paul said, look, guys, and he's talking about sexual immorality specifically here, obviously, because this was a problem in the Corinthian church. And he's like, man, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, okay, who is in you. And then he goes back and says, hey, hold on. Remember this, guys. You've been redeemed. You're not your own. You were a slave of this. And in another verse, when he's speaking to the Corinthian church, he names specific sins and very specific sexual sins, right? And he says, such were some of you, okay? And he's like, man, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit now, right? And whom you have from God, and you are not your own, you were bought at a price. Therefore, because you've been redeemed and the Holy Spirit has entered your heart, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. The outcome of redemption is holiness. Come on now. We're just really like, this is literally like part two of last month's series. We're just continuing here. And so the outcome of redemption is holiness. And holiness, what is holiness? What do we mean by that? It is the divine nature in us and through us, right? Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, okay? So holiness is part of the divine nature. It's literally, and we literally call him the Holy Spirit, right? Can somebody say amen? Can somebody say amen out there? All right, so the blood of Jesus has been shed on us, redemption. We talked about this in length. And I'm really just kind of intro. This is like an intro and just literally. I mean, if you go back, if you haven't listened to last month, I'm telling you, do it, because this month is going to make a lot more sense as a result of knowing what we talked about last month. But the blood of Jesus has been shed on us, washing away our sin. And as a result, we then can become the temple of the Holy Spirit, okay? We must be redeemed for the Holy Spirit to truly dwell within us, all right? All right, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, okay? And there's an association with redemption, salvation, regeneration, all that Jesus did for us on the cross, us receiving redemption, us receiving justification by grace through faith, that then enables God to dwell within us. The Holy Spirit can't dwell within us if we are not forgiven, if we are not washed. Why? He is the Holy Spirit. He cannot dwell in an unclean vessel. And there's a correlation here. When we become sons by grace through faith, the Holy Spirit then can enter us. All right? So Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, right, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. All right, just to give you some, I'm just tying this all in here, okay? So just to understand, as we even go into, as we talked about last month about the mercy seat, which is propitiation, which is basically the wrath of God has been appeased, okay? And now think about this too, right? In the old covenant, under the old covenant, like in the temple, now we're the temple, but back, the type and the shadow of what God was fulfilling through Christ and the Holy Spirit within us, and us being the temple, not a temple made with human hands, but human hearts. Hallelujah. But under the old covenant in the temple, the blood of an animal was applied to the mercy seat, aka propitiation, aka Jesus is the propitiation for us. He is the one that has appeased the wrath of the Father. Okay, was applied to the mercy seat in the most holy place. And this is where God's holy presence was. All right, so here it is. The atonement makes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit a reality. The atonement is my next point. The atonement makes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit a reality. So what am I doing here? As we're walking through this, we must understand this because this is why the Holy Spirit can dwell within us, because the blood has been applied. The blood has been applied. And where the blood is applied, the Holy Spirit comes. Where there's forgiveness, where there's justification, where there is reconciliation, where we being enemies become sons of God, right? The Holy Spirit comes. So that once again, the atonement makes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit a reality. Okay? Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell within us just because we're in church. The Holy Spirit doesn't dwell within us for any other reason other than the blood of Jesus has washed away our sins. And we have put our faith in Christ. Okay? So there is a direct connection to what Jesus did on the cross and what the Holy Spirit can now do within us. All right? That is the whole reason, right? Holy Spirit, God needed Jesus to die on the cross, to be buried, to shed his blood, right? To be buried, to be raised again, to be ascended, so that the Holy Spirit can now dwell within the human heart. Okay? Hallelujah. So let's look at Leviticus here. In this Leviticus chapter 16, this is talking about the atonement, okay? In under the old covenant, which is a type and a shadow of Jesus being the atoning sacrifice for our sins, okay? So now look at the parallel hell. Look at the representation here of what happened in the old covenant and what Jesus fulfilled with his very life. Okay, here we go. Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16, starting in verse 1, and I'm going to read to verse 2. Just verse 1 and 2. It says here, Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. All right? Somebody say the wages of sin is death. It's like this. Like, don't play with God. You know what I mean? We all fall short of the glory of God. Nobody is perfect, right? But there's a difference between being just a sinner because we're not perfect, and somebody involving themselves in the things of God and blatantly living in sin and deceiving and lying to others and themselves like that. Now that's different. That's some profane fire. That could have all kind of manipulation, lying, and deception in it. And it's like, man, don't play with God, right? Can I get an amen, somebody? All right. And so, man, these kids, Aaron's two sons, man, they were offering profane fire. They weren't right, man. They were up in the temple doing what they did, and it was wrong. It was unholy, and you know, same with Eli's sons, same thing. And God dealt with them. It says, and they died. So verse 2, and the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place behind the veil. Okay, don't just come any kind of way, right? You know, don't just, you know, this is the idea here is this. In Leviticus, the theme of Leviticus is that God is holy. Okay, so it's like, yeah, just, you know, there was a structure to this. There was a way to this, and you know, don't just come at any time into the holy place inside the veil. And this behind the veil is where God's holy presence was. and bind the veil. You know, the veil, this all goes back to redemption and what Jesus did for us, folks. It all goes back to what Jesus did for us, because the Bible says after Jesus was crucified, the Bible says the veil in the temple was rent. It was ripped from top to bottom, meaning now, because of the blood, we have access to the holy presence of God. Okay? And so into the place, don't come in anytime. Before the what? The mercy seat, which is on the ark, right? Propitiation. It's where the blood was applied, lest you die. You know, like God is holy, and the wages of sin is death. And it's two things. There's two ways we approach God, understanding he's holy, and we come humbly. Right? And so, and it says, for I will appear. Look at the connection of redemption in the shed blood of Jesus to his presence. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Cloud represents the Holy Spirit. The Bible says when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, it says that God guided them with a pillar of fire by night and cloud by day. Okay, Holy Spirit is our guide. Okay, and here you see that this, where the blood was applied, is where God's holy presence was. And if you came any kind of way because of God's holiness, they would die. Okay, and so we, because of the blood, we can now approach God, and God can dwell within us. Okay? And so the Holy Spirit, he is the Holy Spirit. Okay? So in the church world, and we've equated the Holy Spirit to some things that I just want to share these thoughts. And some of these things are kind of some of the church culture and the church world I come from. And not all the things, I'm going to just share some things, and not all of how we've viewed the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is all wrong, but there are some things that I think we need to get back to just who he is. And so sometimes if we're not careful, we can equate the Holy Spirit to things that isn't necessarily or even scripturally the Holy Spirit. Okay. So for instance, we've equated the Holy Spirit to expression and how a church service flows more than personal holiness. Okay. He is the Holy Spirit. Like flowing, being able to flow with music or being spontaneous, that is not necessarily the Holy Spirit. Okay? Holy Spirit is holy. Right? We view the Holy Spirit like it's some type of outward manifestation, more than inner conviction, okay? So the Holy Spirit isn't reserved to a church service that is spontaneous, although that can be, but the Holy Spirit is a person. He convicts us of our sin, and he is holy, right? And the Bible says, describes him as the Spirit of truth. Okay? We've equated the Holy Spirit to maybe more bombastic activity, like it's more like loudness more than brokenness. That we equate the Holy Spirit to more of this outward loudness rather than brokenness before God. Tenderness, the Holy Spirit tenderizing us. Right? And I'm not saying that we can't be loud. I'm not saying that there isn't a shout amongst God's people, but that is not all of what the Holy Spirit is. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll associate the Holy Spirit for being more fanatical rather than fruitful, right? And we don't want to become, in a sense, more fanatical and less fruitful, okay? I'm all about the praise and the flow of a service, but let's not reserve the Holy Spirit to just that. It is that he is holy and he convicts us and he delivers us and purifies us. Okay? Can somebody say amen? All right? All right. So sometimes we've equated it to, and I'm just kind of reading through these, to more music style, or like the style of a worship service or a preaching style. It can be, all right? But no. Let's take the Holy Spirit, like, you know, our view of him off of the platform, and let's bring him, our understanding of him, to where he truly is in my heart, right? And hallelujah. So the music style, preaching style, rather than righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, as the scripture says. All right. Hallelujah. So once again, the atonement makes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit a reality. So as we talk about the Holy Spirit, I want to, as we've done, just really make that connection to what Jesus has done. That's why he can dwell within us. It's the whole reason, is because where the blood has been applied, the Holy Spirit can now enter. Where the blood was applied on the mercy seat, the Bible says that's where the cloud was. It's where the presence of God was. That's why they would, because the blood hasn't been shed, right? That if they did anything, just the holiness of God, the standard of God's holiness, right? If they did something wrong, if they approached God with uncleanness, if they offered something that wasn't pure, if they came to God in any kind of way, as we read concerning Aaron's sons, man, they died, right? Because that's God's holiness. And so God's holiness hasn't changed, right? It's just that the blood of Jesus has forgiven us and washed us. But even under grace, man, we got to honor God for his, that he is holy, and have a healthy fear and reverence for God, right? And not just, man, this ain't the house of God is not just any other type of organization or building. This ain't just, this is God we're talking about, and he is holy. And we want to honor him and respect him and worship him and approach him with humility, right? Hallelujah. The atonement makes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit a reality. Now look, now we're going to just go through a little chronology. We're going to just see kind of the beginning of, you know, the Old Testament and the prophets prophesying of the Holy Spirit coming. Okay, and so here's my next point, and then we're going to read out of two prophets in the Old Testament. We're going to read from Ezekiel, and we're going to read from Isaiah, and what they prophesied concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit to dwell within people. Okay, so the prophets spoke of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, under the Old Covenant, before Christ came, the Spirit of God would come upon people to do things. It was like more like events or moments in the presence of God would dwell in the temple, right? But it was limited. Truly, the Spirit of God indefinitely and uniquely could not dwell within the human heart because of sin. Yeah, you know, but the prophets spoke of when that would happen. So the prophets of old, the law and the prophets and Psalms speak of Christ, the Messiah, and the Holy Spirit coming. So check this out. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Here it is, prophet Ezekiel prophesying of the days we're living in today. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take that right there. What does that mean? That is right there. If we want to use a New Testament word, regeneration, new spirit, born again, new beginning. I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. Somebody say amen. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. What are we talking about now? He will tenderize us. You know what I'm saying? Talk about, you know, even when we talk about the heart is the soil, you know, and it's soil, and we want it to be good ground, not stony ground. But this is the work of God. This is the grace of God, that God would tenderize our heart. Okay, he changes us. Okay, so when you got people in church 4 years and they've not been tenderized at all, man, that is heartbreaking. That's a problem. What is really going on? Like, people that are in the house, but the God of the house is not in them. You know, like Jude says, they have not the spirit. That's a scary place to be. Come on, somebody. Because this is what the Bible, I will take out the stony heart. You know what I'm saying? I'll take out the deceptive heart. Man, you up in the mix of church, but still hard-hearted, lying and deceiving and doing the church thing. I'm telling you, if that's you, it's time to repent. If you know anybody in that condition, I encourage you to pray for that person, that they would come to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you. This is what the prophet spoke of. This didn't happen yet at this point. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Why? Holy Spirit. How can I live for God? Holy Spirit. How can I live holy? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Here's my next point. The Holy Spirit transforms our walk. Holy Spirit changes our heart. Holy Spirit empowers us to live for God. Holy Spirit empowers us to be obedient. Holy Spirit empowers us to live the standard that God requires. He empowers you to live right. He enables you to walk the straight and narrow. If your life ain't got no type of straight and narrow in it, I question the reality of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you're at church and you're just all wide open, going, doing all kind of stuff, doing, saying all kind of things, living any kind of way, the Holy Spirit is not in your life. Come on, somebody. He empowers us to live the life that God commands. That's what the prophet, I'm just reading you what Ezekiel said by the Holy Spirit. I'm just a mailman today, folks, but that is what the Holy Spirit does. All right. That's what he's at. We're not going to read up all the prophets and all the verses, but just to give you a snapshot, the prophet spoke of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So here is Isaiah. Now, Isaiah did this a lot. Okay. It's all over Isaiah. There's messianic prophecies all over the book of Isaiah. And here's one concerning the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 44, verse 3. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Okay? Now, speaking of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And floods on the dry ground. Heart again. This is Holy Spirit. I think so many times we've kind of reserved the Holy Spirit to some environment we've created. No. The Holy Spirit dwells in an environment that God has created, the human heart. Now, I understand that. I understand when God's people gather. I understand where two or three are gathered together, he is there in our midst. Okay? But where does the Holy Spirit dwell? He dwells in human hearts. Okay? For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants. Isaiah speaking to the people of God at this time. And my blessing on your offspring. All right. Hallelujah. Pour water on him who's thirsty. Okay, here's my next point. The Holy Spirit satisfies us. I am telling you right now that, man, you don't need to be running around trying to get satisfied by everybody and everything else. Holy Spirit in his very nature, filling the human heart. He satisfies our longing. Okay? You have, think about this, you have the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead dwelling within you. He will satisfy your desire. Okay? Here we go. Now, got a couple of prophets. Now, let's go into the Gospels. Okay? We're almost done. We're almost done. Luke chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. Here it is. This is Jesus at a Jewish feast. And here it goes. John 7, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." All right. Verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay, here's my next point. This is a long one. Okay, but the Holy Spirit coming is a significant part of God's redemptive plan. I'm going to say it again. The Holy Spirit's coming, right? The Holy Spirit coming to dwell within the human heart is a significant part of God's redemptive plan. So now we see the Holy Spirit. We're talking about Holy Spirit this month, right? It's just the foundation. But just to go back, and I'm going to read a couple more verses out of the Gospels. But we've seen how we see the Holy Spirit spoken of and the representation in the Old Testament, even within the temple, and the connection to the mercy seat, and the connection to the law spoken of. We see the prophets prophesying that he will be poured out. And you know, even Peter, I didn't go to this very familiar one, but in Joel chapter 2 and all that, Peter quoted that verse when the day of Pentecost came, and we're going to talk about that next week because we're going to be in the book of Acts. And now we see Jesus speaking that he will not come until Christ is glorified. Part of the redemptive plan. Okay, part of the redemptive plan. So I'm going to read a couple more here, okay? So we just read Luke chapter 7. Now let's read John chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. John 6, 5 to 8. But now, this is Jesus now talking, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Speaking of the Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Okay? Holy Spirit coming is a significant part of God's redemptive plan for humanity. Verse 8, and when he has come, this is what he will do. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Right? Those are heart things. Can I, come on, somebody. All right? And so it is to your advantage that I go. Why did he say that? Because, you know, just practically, it's like you got God the Son here with you. But after my process, this is Christ now talking, right? In a sense, like after my process, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, now the Holy Spirit can dwell within any person that confesses Christ, repents of their sin. Any person that the blood of Jesus has washed away sin, the Holy Spirit then can come and dwell in that heart. All right? Okay, one more verse here. Luke 24, okay? And this is right before the ascension. So I just wanted to, like I said, when we first started this message today, I wanted to just share some of the chronology here. I think it's so important that and we have the rest of the month here. So we're going to talk about walking with the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. My wife's going to jump in and preach one of these this month. I wanted to share, just take a view of the scripture and God's redemptive plan from the Old Covenant prophets and now and the Gospels and the connection to Jesus on the cross and his resurrection and ascension, the Holy Spirit coming is part of the redemptive plan. Can I get an amen, somebody? Okay, so here we go. Luke chapter 24, verse 44 to 53. All right, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to pray. Okay, Luke chapter 24, verse 44, it reads, "Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things must be fulfilled." Somebody said redemptive plan. "Which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Verse 45. "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." What was the what scriptures? The law and the prophets and the Psalms, the old covenant. They now received revelation of it and saw Christ and the redemptive plan in it. Hallelujah. Verse 46. "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day." Redemptive plan. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And here is the ascension. Verse 50. "And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them, carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen." My last point is this, and I'm going to pray. The Holy Spirit is the Father's fulfilled promise. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the Father's fulfilled promise. We see this from this message today, that the Holy Spirit being poured out and coming to dwell within the believers. It is this culmination of God's redemptive plan. And what happens after that? What happens? The church is birthed. The church comes forth. No talk of the church until the Holy Spirit comes. So Father, we thank you today for your word, and we thank you for your redemptive plan. I pray, God, that this just gives people a greater understanding and revelation of who you are and how you, God, desire to dwell within us. And you have made a way for the Holy Spirit to dwell within the believer's heart. And we thank you for it, God. We thank you for it today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love you. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. And my prayer is that you go out there and you change your world through the power of Jesus Christ. If you're ever in the LA area, join us for one of our weekend gatherings and follow us on social media and check out our website at hopelandla.com. Peace.